to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders do a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine the biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by Brenda Crosston. Hello, Brenda.
Hey, Mark. Glad to be here for Session 1, The Source of Temptation. Today, we swallow a very hard truth. The source of our temptation is within us. It is really hard. For me personally, so I won't speak for everyone else. It's really hard for me personally to think about the fact that the source of temptation is within me. And so we'll see that today in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, as we dig deeper, where is this source of temptation and how do we resist it?
So the point is, we have no one to blame but ourselves when we fall into sin. And so here's our question. How can we win in the face of temptation? Let's read the first verses, James chapter 1, verse 13. No one undergoing a trial should say, I and being tempted by God, since God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. And so there it is. And so our point now is, don't blame God. So when temptation comes in our lives, don't blame God. And so we really have to think about this. You know, Flip Wilson years ago would say, the devil made me do it. And so that's one way to blame somebody. But regardless of who, we're not going to say in this section yet, we're going to say in the next section, who is to be held to account for this. But the one person we know we have to immediately scratch off the list is God, right? God is not tempted by evil, this scripture says, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. So God is not the one who is ever trying to make you fall or stumble or push you into a bad light or anything like that, because God does not tempt anyone. And so we have this tendency to say, oh, the Lord has just put me to the test. But this verse says that that's just you talking. That is not what God does. What are you thinking here, Brenda?
So yeah, this first point, don't blame God. It's easy for us to believe in our spiritual minds and hearts that God is tempting us to shape and mold us. However, this scripture passage plainly says that God never tempts us with evil, right? So teachers, you're going to come across the question, like, well, what about this passage that says that God tested this person or tested that person? Well, the difference is, this passage says that God doesn't tempt us. I mean, God is not tempted by evil. And so since he's not tempted by evil, he wouldn't tempt us with evil as well. It would go against his very nature. And so when our temptations come, the source is not God. If those temptations have evil intent, they are not from God. And so God is, like you said earlier, off that list. We cannot say that he's doing that.
So since you talked about another place, I don't know if there are too many places where you see a direct issue of a test in the scripture But let's talk about Jesus in the wilderness, where he is, and some in the old in the King James Version says tempted by the devil, right? So here in James, notice that the text says tempted by evil. And so it is tempted by evil, and the test is to sin. It is the objective of the evil temptation is to cause us to fall into sin. Now let's look and compare Jesus's test in the wilderness by the devil. So he is the evil one, but he's not tested with evil. Think about this. So he is, the test is to turn stones into bread, which would not have been evil in a sense, right? Jesus just simply chose a better way, right? He knew what his calling and objective was for God. And rather than taking this easier, lesser way, well, let me just go ahead and eat, turn stones into bread. He chooses to live by the word of God. The test was to bow down and worship the devil. And God chose, and Jesus chose a better way. And the test was for him to fall. Jesus chose a better way. So, but notice that even in those temptations, it doesn't say that Jesus wasn't tempted. He was tempted, but he was tempted by the devil. He wasn't tempted by God. Huh? So the devil is the one that initiated all of those temptations in the life of Jesus in the wilderness. So it doesn't say we won't go through temptation. It doesn't say we won't have temptation. What it does say is that God is not the source, because he does not tempt any of us with evil, right? So if you're being tempted with evil, then understand God is not doing that, because evil has no place in God. And so the God who is not evil can't then become evil to tempt you with something that he is not. All right. So that's the first point. Don't blame God. Here's the second point. Don't be enticed. First, don't blame God. Second, don't be enticed. And so let's read this second section, verse 14 and 15. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. And so don't be enticed. I guess we should have done a study of the word enticed, its etymology. That might be a good thing for you to think about, and because that could be an enlightening conversation in this test. But the whole point here in this second section is really that temptation is not outside of us. Temptation is inside of us. Huh? Each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. Now, the truth is, I would say that everything is not a temptation for everybody, right? I had a friend, Alan, that I used to work with at IBM, and Alan told me one day that kissing a girl who smoked was like licking an ashtray. Now, I don't have any experience with either one, but that's the whole point. What I want to talk about is just the fact of smoking, right? So for some people, this is a great temptation. And so it just has a hold on them, and some people just can't find a way to release themselves from it, from this grip, right? And so, but I would just say for me, you know, I can be around smoke. You could, you know, make circles with your smoke. You know, sometimes people who smoke, We'll see who can get the longest piece of ash on the cigarette without it falling off. Oh, you can do all that stuff. And it's not going to make me want to smoke. It's just because it's just not in me. You see what I'm saying? It's not in me. But if you put like a piece of fried chicken up there, come on now. That is a temptation to me. So what I'm saying is that everybody has their own stuff. Everybody has their own issues on the inside that cause us to be tempted or drawn away. And so what draws one into sin may not draw another. One person may have complete power over this issue because it's not in them. And another one might succumb to this particular issue because that is in them. Now, the truth is that something is in all of us, right? So something is in all of us. So you don't have to look down on the one who has that particular temptation or that temptation, because all of us have our own temptation. And so, but this is text that reminds us that the temptation is from inside, not from outside. What are you thinking, Brenda?
I want to snatch a couple of verses to evidence point one as I've comment on point two. So teachers, I can't do it all because marker edited out if I say too much, go over our time. Check out Psalm 7:9, Jeremiah 17:10, Genesis 22:1, Deuteronomy 8:2, as it talks about these issues of God testing, particularly 22:1, Genesis 22:1 is God testing Abraham. Here's the deal. In those moments, Abraham or whomever's being tested, they, like Mark said, had to have whatever that enticement was in their hearts. They had to already have it there. And so Mark has already talked extensively about that. So let me just grab a hold to that last piece that says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. So it gives us the reason right in the passage why you should not allow yourself to be enticed, because it's going to lead to a life of death and then a final death sentence. What do I mean by life of death? You know, when you are living in sin for the moment, it feels good, but soon, all of the repercussions of that sin starts to unfold. And so then you have to ask the question, well, you told me don't be enticed. Well, how is it? Can I avoid that? Well, you have to know what your bend or proclivity is. You have to be well aware of it. You have to admit that it is so. And then you have to make sure that you avoid that at all costs. If I know that alcohol, so I'll say this, alcohol isn't a temptation for me, but there's a reason why, because I grew up in a family of alcoholics. My dad was an alcoholic, all of my uncles, alcoholics. And I know from that experience that we must have an addictive gene somewhere as it pertains to alcohol. And so I don't put myself in that situation. I don't immerse myself in atmospheres that will lean toward that bend, that proclivity. And so how can we not be enticed? Avoid the situation. My mom used to say to me all the time, Michelle, you can't play on the devil's territory. You're not strong enough. And at first I didn't know what she meant. But later when I came to understand it, I thought, well, yes, I'm a Christian. I can, you know, fight the devil. Well, the truth of the matter is when you have a bend or proclivity, you cannot play on the devil's territory because you are not strong enough, because the spirit of the Lord won't protect you where you put yourself in. And when you put yourself in this situation, does that make sense? So yeah, don't be enticed. But the way you cannot be enticed is to know what your bends and proclivities are and avoid them.
All right, so let's go on to the third point now. And the third point is don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. verse 16. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creature. And so there it is. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived because, and I would like to say it like this, God has something better in store for you. We give in to temptation because we think it's the best thing. Wow, this is going to be delightful. This is going to satisfy my desires. This is going to make me feel like somebody. This is going to bring contentment or peace or whatever it is we're looking for in life. But here it is. When it comes to sin, don't be deceived. Remember this, no matter how good you think that is, or no matter how good that seems to you, God has something better in store for you. And that's why God wants to keep you away from the lesser, because God wants to direct you toward that which he has for you, which is better, right? Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And what he wants, he's telling us the truth so that we might become the first fruits of his creatures. God has something absolutely more wonderful, better, more satisfying in your future. And you don't want to cut off the great things that God has for your future by giving in to the momentary pleasure of a temptation. What are you thinking, Brenda?
When I first read this passage, I said, what does verses 16 through 18 have to do with the first set of verses? And so it took me a moment, or more than a moment, it took me some study time to see all of the good nuggets here. So, of course, I don't have time to pull them all out, but let me just start at verse 17. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above. That alludes to what you just said, that God has something better for us. Coming down from the Father of lights. Let's stop right there. The Father of lights. This alludes to God being the creator of the sun and the moon, the two things that govern the day and night, the two things that enter into darkness and brought illumination. And so think about that. This passage is saying, look, don't be deceived. There's something better, and it's come from the greater source. It's come from the Father of lights. If you go back and do a study about the light, it also has the connotation that there's bringing clarity. The light is bringing clarity, is bringing understanding, is pushing back the darkness. And so don't be deceived. If you will refuse to be enticed, then the Father of understanding, because that's what that is, the Father of life, the Father of clarity, the Father who has the power to push back darkness, will overshadow you. He will give you that strength to resist temptation. And it says, oh, look at the second part. It says, who does not change like shifting shadows. And so don't be deceived. He has a better gift. He wants to bring you clarity, understanding, and the power to push back darkness. But he's everlasting. He doesn't change. This ability that he has will never go away. And that last verse, verse 18, by his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Don't be deceived. God never intended for us to give into sin. And that means that he gave us a way of escape. And so when you find yourself in this moment where your personal desires and lust are leading you into a path that will lead you down to darkness, ultimately bringing forth death, Don't be deceived. This is not God's plan for you. And if it's not his plan for you, he has strengthened you to resist in the moment.
All right. All right. So this is the beginning of what I think is going to be a very helpful discussion for everybody on this whole issue of temptation. And we want you, if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on for just a moment, because Brenda's about to give us a powerful 1 minute teaching tip. And so I want you to hold on for that. But I want to remind everybody that you need to get your copy of the U Bible study. You need to have your own for yourself. Don't be tempted to use somebody else's. Get your own. All right. And so you can find it at u.lifeway.com. That's you.lifeway.com. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats. There's a teacher guide in the back of the book, daily devotional guide so that we can stay rooted in the Word of God daily. And there's a leader pack available to make your lessons even more exciting. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. Make sure you get yours now. All right, Brenda, give us our teaching tip for today.
All right. Friends, I am inviting you into a deeper dive. I mentioned earlier in the discussion some scriptures. And so, yes, that is your teacher tip for today. Take a deeper dive into moments where the Bible speaks about God as testing others. And let me get you started on some verses. Psalm 7 and 9, Jeremiah 17 and 10, Genesis 22 and 1, Deuteronomy 8 and 2. Take a deeper dive, teachers. And wrestle with this issue where James says, oh, God doesn't tempt us with evil. And then these scriptures talk about God testing Abraham and testing the heart of men. So so that when you are having this discussion, you can shed some light on that in case someone asks. And even if they don't, it might be a question that's lingering in their hearts and minds.
All right. Very good. Very good. We're so excited about what is happening here in this study. So join us again, my friend, for another U Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.